part 9 of my top 10 begonias. And today's begonia is Begonia thurstonii. The first begonia in the top 10 that I don't currently own. Consider this a call out for anyone in the UK who has Begonia thurstonii and wants to do a swap. Get in touch, because I would love a piece of this begonia, and I'm going to explain why it's made its way into my top 10. Oh, and thank you to Andrew, who took up a free trial of the legend level of my Patreon and then became a member. Welcome, Andrew. Great to have you on board. And I will be recording a bonus episode on begonias for Patreon, which will be going out next week, which talks about some of the begonias that didn't make the list and why. Yes, I am looking at you, Begonia Luxury Ants. Begonia thurstonii is a hybrid begonia that is classed as a shrub-like begonia, and this is the first in the top 10 of begonias for usual room conditions that counts in this category. So it's pretty obvious what that means. Shrub-like, it gets big and shrubby. It doesn't grow a single stem. It tends to bush out and get large. This begonia can get up to about a metre tall. If you've never come across the shrub-like begonias, I'll stick something in the show notes from the American Begonia Society, which gives you some examples and descriptions. If you know begonias, other shrub-like begonias you might have heard of include Begonia listarda and Begonia metallica. And interesting we mention metallica, because in fact metallica is one of the parents of thurstonii. I think we can safely describe Begonia thurstonii as a heritage begonia. It was first brought onto the market in 1887 by a chap called C. Thurston, and its two parents are Begonia metallica and Begonia sanguinea. I should say here that Begonia metallica is, according to Plants of the World Online, the Kew website, which I take as my authority, is an outdated scientific name. We should be calling it Begonia incarnata. However, I've not seen anyone using that name, so I'll just mention Begonia incarnata in the same breath as metallica, and hopefully we'll all get a rough idea of what we're talking about. And this begonia has been pretty much popular ever since. Looking back in the archives, I could see lots of mentions of this begonia from the time it first came onto the market right up to the 1940s. Not much about it for a while after that. It seemed to be in the doldrums for a few decades, but it's definitely coming back now. And I found a rather nice piece about Thurston's begonia in the Cultivator and Country Gentleman publication in August 1895. So by 7 years, it had already achieved enough notoriety to get a whole article in this publication. And the writer, who was called Chas E. Parnell, writes, "It may be described as being a plant of vigorous growth, shrubby, free-branching habit, and growing from 1 or 2 feet in height, and as a specimen pot plant is exceedingly ornamental. It is a cross between Begonia metallica and Begonia sanguinea, having the bright red foliage and veinings underneath the leaves and bright metallic green shading to red in the younger growth on top with the deep veinings of the metallica. It also has smooth glossy leaves and red stems of sanguinea. The flowers are of a beautiful deep pink in bud, but when expanded, of a beautiful shell pink." So that's what it looks like. It's a really lovely, glossy-leaved, almost olive-coloured leaf, a kidney-shaped leaf, with these red undersides and red stems. I admired this begonia when I saw it at the Garden Museum in London. I'll post a link to a little blog post from the museum about this particular plant from the head gardener there, Matt Collins. And I fell in love with it. I think it's a really beautiful plant. In terms of growing it, I think you could put it in pretty much the same conditions as you would an earlier begonia in this series, the Lucerna. That's a cane begonia, to be fair, but the conditions it needs are pretty much the same. It's not going to be bothered by average room humidity unless you stick it next to a radiator or some other dry heat source. It needs plenty of good light, but don't stick it with your cacti. And other than that, just treat it as you would do a regular houseplant. Bear in mind that as a shrubby begonia, it will need a decently heavy pot, otherwise it will topple over, and it can get down to quite cold temperatures. I would think this would be fine down to 5 degrees centigrade with no problem. And we'll talk more tomorrow about substrates and watering of begonias in this top 10 as we wrap it up with some care advice. Do we know anything about Thurston, the chap who bred this begonia back in 1887? Well, not really. All I did find out was from a list of exhibits at the American Florists Convention in Buffalo, New York in 1889. There was a list of exhibits, and one of those exhibits was from a C. Thurston of Ridgewood, New Jersey, of his new begonia, Begonia Thurstonii, which he named after himself. Why not? So I'm presuming that Thurston was a breeder of begonias running a nursery in New Jersey. And indeed, I did find one or two ads for his business offering new begonias, not specifically Thurstonii, but I imagine if I dug a bit deeper, I might be able to find those as well. This was obviously all the rage in the late 1880s and 1890s. It had a following. People liked this plant, and I can understand why. If you've got room for something that's going to be as wide as it is tall and could get about a metre tall, this is a lovely begonia that will do fine in the average room temperatures. You've got these glossy leaves and makes a really nice statement plant, teamed with the right pot, absolute perfection. Now, if you are a super fan of mine, you might remember that I wrote a blog post back in, 2022, about a mystery begonia that I had been given a leaf of, and after a lot of research, it turned out to be a cultivar called Aldermore, which is, funnily enough, a hybrid with some of the same parentage. Begonia incarnata, aka Begonia metallica, is the male parent, and the female parent is Begonia scharfiana var scharfiana. Catchy, eh? So you can go and read that blog post about Aldermore. So this is basically another hybrid with Begonia metallica as a parent. The difference between Aldermore and Thurstonii, though, is that the leaves of Aldermore are hairy. Unfortunately, I didn't get a plant out of that leaf. You need a stem cutting for that, and I only had a leaf, but I need to go back to the person who gave me that leaf and ask them for a stem cutting, because I'd like Aldermore as well, thank you very much. But yes, Aldermore also worth looking at. It's a really tough heirloom begonia and has a lot of the similar characteristics, except if you like a pubescent leaf, it's a superior choice. If you like a glossy leaf, go for Thurstonii. So I'll include a link to that blog post in the show notes, and I'll link from that to this episode as well, so you get the full picture. So I think there have been, a long time in the past, quite a few cultivars of Begonia metallica, and Aldermore and Thurstonii are two of them. I should say also, Aldermore, I think I'm right in saying that its correct official name is Begonia krednerii, but as you know, if you've studied begonias at all, the naming is rather tricky, and certainly you can get the plant as Aldermore. I'm not sure I've seen it sold under the correct name of krednerii. Tell me if you have. If you're trying to get hold of Begonia thurstonii, I don't know how easy it's going to be honest. I've seen it for sale in a few places in America. I don't think Dibley's in the UK has it, but it's one of those plants that gets passed around as cutting, so hopefully you might be able to track one down. I hope so anyway, because I think it's well worth a look. And like all begonias, if you get it up to the light and look at the backs of the leaves, you get a magnificent show of beautiful, almost stained glass window effect from those red backs of the leaves. So it's a great plant. It's a really great plant, and that's why it's made it into my top 10, even though I don't have one. So that's today's begonia. Just a bit of other news. I have just found out today that finally, Legends of the Leaf is available from Audible as as an audiobook. So if you have an Audible subscription, you can use one of your credits to listen to Legends of the Leaf, or you can buy it as a one-off purchase or gift it to somebody. I'd love you to go and listen and review it. Hopefully this will get my book out to an even wider audience. It's voiced by me, so if you like the sound of my voice, this could be an accompaniment to your Christmas festivities. So that's all for today. I will be back tomorrow with the final begonia and my begonia care tips. So don't miss that. In the meantime, enjoy your begonias. Have a great day or couple of days, and I will speak to you soon. Bye. The music you heard in this episode was Roll Jordan Roll by the Joy Drops and Whistle by Benjamin Banger. All tracks are licensed under Creative Commons. Visit the show notes for details.